Welcome to the Talking Transformation podcast. I'm your podcast host, Peter Ahmad, recording from Cape Town, South Africa, since June 2019. The Talking Transformation podcast provides an open and accessible platform for built environment professionals and interest groups to share their reflections and aspirations relating to the transformation of places and spaces in South Africa. It's intended to be a celebration of the individuals and community groups who are supporting formal and informal processes that are addressing the challenges of South Africa's history and shaping the future of our neighbourhoods and cities. In one of our earliest Talking Transformation podcast episodes, episode 4, A Tour of Duty and of Service, we highlighted the issue of healing in communities and the concept of peacemaking. It was evident in that conversation with the World Bank Group's Dr. Yana El-Hor that this was a difficult and constantly challenging proposition for those working with communities engaged in community building activities. There was certainly no such thing there as a quick fix or a one-size-fits-all approach, particularly when dealing with deep issues of mistrust, inequality, and historical trauma and hardship that may span generations. Several years on from that podcast, we revisit the theme, specifically the multicultural dimensions of building trust and understanding within communities in South Africa. Our guests are the Reverends Andrew Esterhazen and Bossy Muller. The two of them have taken their own extensive expertise in working with communities into Culture Connect, a cultural diversity project falling under the Unit for Reconciliation and Justice in the Beyers Nadir Centre for Public Theology at the University of Stellenbosch. I really enjoyed this conversation with two very passionate, very committed practitioners who have worked extensively with communities, municipalities, businesses and corporates. The conversation with the two of them is particularly apt given the tensions, conflict and deep levels of mistrust that were evident between government departments and taxi operators here in the Western Cape during August. The lamentable loss of life and damage to property again demonstrated deep divisions and the ingredients for conflicts such as this to repeat over and over again. Bossy and Andrew explained the four platforms that they've put in place to underpin the Culture Connect methodology and why these are relevant to the transformation of our communities in 2023, almost three decades on from the democratic era in South Africa. Their approach to facilitating courageous conversations and fostering healing and understanding is both compelling and thought-provoking for any listener engaged in community-based planning. The episode is a reminder that there's so often a need to go beyond the attention-grabbing headlines and deeper into the symptoms and issues that cause the conflict and damage. In the weeks preceding the World Cup in France, we also touch on the moments in time and the belief when a multicultural team demonstrates what a rainbow nation can look like. Good luck to the Boks in the coming weeks in France, and a great deal of love and respect to the South African women's soccer and netball teams for their efforts in their respective World Cups in August of this year. As always, we hope you enjoy this episode. It's just gone 1:15 on Tuesday, the 22nd of August. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Reverend Bossy Muller and Andrew Esterhazen. Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Cold, wet, rainy day here in Stellenbosch, but really interested to hear about your Culture Connect and the work that you've been doing with various communities here in the Western Cape and beyond.
Hello, Peter. It's great to be with you.
Thank you, Peter. It's nice sitting with you and discuss whatever will come up. And we are very passionate about Culture Connect.
Absolutely. I think we met maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. You were doing some work with the NGO that I'm engaged with, the Ranyaka NGO, and you were working with them. Tell us a bit about the genesis story of Culture Connect.
It started with my own research about how can I help communities to be more multicultural. Previously, I work a lot with that. And the context in which I work was the church. We work with the iceberg metaphor. So a lot of talking is about above the water. And we experience, and I experience in my research, that we have to work below the water to help people with their relationships to each other. And so I start with research, and Andrew, my colleague, we are colleagues for a long time. And then we register the project at Beyers Nadir Centrum, and it is part of the Reconciliation Unit. and we register Culture Connect and we start working in communities. We've got a lot of prototypes that we have done in communities and with students. And we also end up with Renaika and working with Renaika and help them to work under the water in terms of the iceberg. So it's wonderful. It's hard work, but it is wonderful. And may I say that you can't do this work alone. We must be a team of different cultures. And it's a privilege to work with Andrew.
Andrew, let's come to you. Here we are, almost 30 years on from a new democratic era in South Africa. How are we doing 3 decades on from that democratic era? And what are some of those issues that Bosi talks about that are above the surface? And how are you tackling those that are actually below the surface, that are the real wicked challenges?
We were all very excited in 1994 with Madiba, Desmond Tutu, and the whole idea about South Africa as being a rainbow nation. Some of us come through the UDF that has also this past weekend celebrated.
Indeed.
I think 40 years or whatever. Yes, we started with UDF in the 1980s. We had that dream of a non-racial and non-sexist and a democratic South Africa. But sad to say, what I experience is that we haven't succeeded as a country really to establish that ethos as being non-racial, non-sexist, and really democratic in our country. I think we have failed to a large extent to really make it happen. And we see some of that in broken relationships between different cultural groups. There's a lot of distrust. People are really struggling to maintain this hope and dream of working together in harmony, in peace, and helping the country to prosper as a rainbow nation, as a non-racial society.
There's a lot of trauma in the past, and we didn't deal with that. I know that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission tried, but it stopped. All the leaders was very excited, but then, you know, the new democratic South Africa, I think, took a lot of that time. So the trauma, and that's what we experienced after almost 30 years, that the trauma is still there and alive. And sometimes it popped up and we see it. Everyone talk about diversity and the rainbow nation, but it's only talk. What does it mean? How can we help people through this trauma of the past? We are not doing good and we want to make South Africa a better place.
How do you go about targeting either the communities or the sectors that are important in terms of Culture Connect?
As Culture Connect, we work with religious communities, we work with schools, we work with, for instance, with the students here at the University of Stellenbosch, we work with municipal communities, and we also work with businesses. And thus far, we have basically been targeted or been invited by churches who want to build a bridge to another cultural group to come and help them so that they can be more culturally sensitive and better able to understand diversity and to embrace it and to celebrate it. Because we experience that leadership in these organizations, they may have the vision and they see the need that we should really make an effort to reach out to others or to another group, but they don't know how. And that is where we come in with the research that has been done, the process that we have developed to help people really to build better relationships, to break down distrust, and to establish good relationships and friendships that cross boundaries that in the past kept people apart.
Bossy, tell us a bit about that process then, about how you start to rebuild and build those bridges that Andrew talks about.
I think Culture Connect is a creative approach. The process assists people from different cultures to see, to hear, and to judge each other on a different way. So we use a lot of creativity to help people to see each other. I think the main thing of Culture Connect is that we create, in the first instance, we thought we must call it safe spaces. We create courageous spaces because it is courageous to take people of different cultures together. And then we put them in a safe or courageous space so that they can understand each other, have experience of each other, and reflect on that. So we do a lot in the process of reflecting. So in the reflecting, people will be transformed to think about others. How do they think about others? How they react to other peoples in other cultures? At the beginning of our journey, that the journey is a personal journey. It starts with yourself, who you are. What are you willing to do? Are you want to engage with other cultures? Do you want to listen to other cultures? And in this instance, you have to look. We look through the cultural lens to ourselves. And then there's a voluntary process. People can leave if they want to, but we have normally a discussion with them. So the process is first of all a journey. And then the journey with the different cultural groups, we aimed in this safe space or courageous space to transform relationships. That's the main thing. We want to transform relationships by moving mistrust, prejudice, and awareness of understanding other peoples of other cultures. So what we want to do is to help people in this courageous space to be cultural sensitive. So we've got four stations in this journey. The first one is a cultural experience. So it's all about you, and you look through the cultural lens on yourself, reflect on yourself. The second station, as we call it, is a multicultural experience where they introduce the different cultures, introduce them to each other. And on the third station, there is a intercultural awareness to encourage people to help and understand and to be tolerant to each other. And then on the fourth stage of station, it's an intrapersonal experience. Then when you reflect what happened with yourself, how do your attitude change? How are you going to see other cultures? And what perhaps, and we have examples of that, where people spontaneously come together and work in the communities. So this more or less our process, what we are doing. It's normally 6 weeks with different time slots that we come together because, you know, it's all about you and you must working it through. It's not a program that we is running, but it's deep under the water with yourself.
At the first station, we help the participants to reflect on the influence of the past, and we are talking about the apartheid past. The influence of apartheid on their culture. We normally work with at least two different cultural groups, black or white or colored and white. And we take each group on its own and they reflect on what was the influence of apartheid on them and the influence of their culture during apartheid on them. We take them to a place where they can become aware and where they reflect about their identity, how it was formed under apartheid. And that can be a very traumatic experience. I mean, we've had the experience in one group that one person couldn't talk about what happened to him and his family. He just told us, this is what the group areas did to us. Took away from us, and he couldn't talk about it. The amazing thing about that and those kind of experiences we get from time to time that this person said in his whole life, since he was a child, he never went back to the place where he was actually born. That is the area where his family stayed. And he is staying in the same town where that happened. And that part of the town, he can't revisit. So we help people to become aware this is what happened to you. And we help them, if it's at all possible, to talk about that. What was the effect of this on your personal life? And we give them an opportunity to speak about it, because through speaking about it, healing can take place. And as Boris said, it's still a safe space where you are with people who are like you. And as project leaders, we are with them, with the participants, when they speak about their personal experiences. So we are there to give some pastoral guidance and so on, should people need that. And from there, we help them to identify what would be the common theme from all of you in this one group, say the white group, the colored group, the black group. And by the way, we also have another colleague who is a black colleague, but he's working in Knysna. He can't be present today. Dulani Nene is his name. Coming back to that, we let the participants in this one group speak about their experiences and try to find the common theme. If we have to present ourselves to the other group, what will we talk about, or what will we show to them? And that would be the next station, the next part, where one cultural group express themselves and present themselves to the other, the next station. One group did something actually countercultural, and one white group. They realized in this discussing of who they are actually and what did apartheid do to them, they came to the realization, but we don't want to be like that, like how we were and how we were perceived to be and how we are still being perceived because of our apartheid past. So they decided we are going to present ourselves in a new way as how we want to be seen today and experienced today. So they decided to wash the feet of the other group. And by doing that, saying, we don't want to be bosses. We don't want to be boss. We give away our authority and we are prepared to humble ourselves, to be your servants. And we are prepared to wash your feet. And that is how they presented themselves after having had this experience where they reflected on who were they under apartheid and how apartheid shaped them, and taking a decision that is not what we want to be and how we want to present ourselves. And that had a great impact on the experience of the other group, how they experienced that. Look, here is a group that want us to look at them in a different way, not how they were. So that is the kind of thing that can happen when people are taken under the water, when people get a new awareness together with this reflection of who they were and who they want to be. And that is deep change. And we are privileged to be part of that, and even more privileged to have seen it happen. And that gives us the courage and the confidence, yes, to share it with others and say it can happen. We do it step by step, one community at a time, but it can happen all over South Africa.
It's clearly a very, very powerful transformation journey that you're describing. The gesture of the washing of the feet, I was reminded as you were talking, Andrew, I think it was Minister Adrian Flock back in the day. I think he was the minister for was it police. I mean, the brutality and the inherent wickedness and how that was a gesture and an important one. And here you are describing that as a particular engagement. But Bossy, recently, I think you took the four stages that you described into a PAL community. There was an engagement there. Maybe you want to tell us a bit about the issues that that community was facing And how did some of them play out over that weekend where you had engaged with that particular group of people? What are those challenges that they're facing in relation to daily issues? Because I guess that's the other thing of a moment in time. How does that translate a week down the line, a month, a year, a generation down the line?
Before I come to Paul, I want to make two comments about the process. You can feel that the iceberg metaphor is powerful. So we take people deep under the water to identify what navigate their behavior. And that is the problem with the other processes that we experience. People don't go deep under the water. Our experience is that people in Paul, and well as in Tosophy, but they are afraid of each other. They don't know each other. So it takes time to listen. One lady in Paul said, it was so wonderful to listen to the other's stories. So people need to listen to each other, and the stories is powerful of the past, because where we are now is defined by our stories. And if people tell their stories, and that's what we experience in Paul, you became my brother or my sister when I see your story, I hear your story. What happened in Paul at the end is good relationships. If we don't have good relationships, that is the key of the journey. And that is what we experienced, that people became brothers and sisters. They said, we are all the same. We are not so different. And it's amazing. And that is that they experienced in Paul. I know, we are all the same. And a lot of empathy for the past. And the stories opened their eyes up. So, I didn't know that. So we build relationships. And then that is the key in transformation. And that happened. And then that lead to responsibility. That lead that people can talk about everything. The process is open-ended. We don't say that will happen or that will happen. What we can say and what we experience is good relationship starts. And then we can talk about justice. Then we can talk about poverty. Then we can talk about transformation. Now, I know, especially the business people say, that is the soft issues. Of course it is the soft issues, but it's most important. You can't go further, and that is our experience. In good relationships, in courageous spaces, help people about the trauma of the past. And we experience it. Andrew told about the students, and they are 23 years old. They experienced the consequences of apartheid now. Their fathers and mothers were so exposed to apartheid. There's a lot of pain about that. So good relationships, then it open up. And that's what we experienced with Paul and in Tosophy. And then people start to celebrate diversity. And that is a wonderful experience.
The point that you're making, Bossy, is that even if you're born, and if you're 29 years old today, correct, born on election day, you're carrying significant baggage from many different sides. You've talked about storytelling being a very important part of the path. When I look at the Springboks and what that is as a unifier, I think back to 95, we saw it again in 2007, but we really, I think, saw the needle move again in a significant way with the last World Cup win in 2019, where it seemed to be a more multicultural team. It came with its own many different stories, diverse stories, stories of absolute hardship. How important are these moments in time? Things like the Springbok as a brand is important for nation building.
I think that what the Springboks have done, and the sports, you mentioned that, I think it's wonderful and we must embrace that. And let me say that we are not the experts. We had to learn from everybody. We are all on a learning curve. What we have learned, and that we want to discuss with the sports people, what have you done to do that? Because how can we do it as part of our community on grassroots level? The people are more positive to work together. And the people told us they are fed up for the politicians. So on ground level, there's another, something happened. And when we open it up, we are most. So yeah, we must learn, and it's wonderful to support people. But Andrew can add on.
Yeah, no, I want to agree that having Siya Kolisi in 2019 lifting the Rugby World Cup, that was a huge moment in rugby, Afrikaner dominated. The first isiXhosa captain to lift the World Cup. We should celebrate that. That is a picture of how we can be as a rainbow nation, as a non-racial society. And everybody can support that. And Madiba played a huge role with the previous World Cup win. I think it was in 1995, here in South Africa. Pinar, I think, was the rugby captain at that time. And Madiba coming onto the field with his number at his back.
Number six, of course, yeah.
Those are huge moments. And my understanding is that moments like those create the awareness of the possibility of how good it can be to be together, where race is not an issue, where people are there on merit, and we can celebrate that. Doesn't matter what the color of the skin is, what your cultural background is, you are doing what you do and you are good at what you do, and you do it for your country. That is huge. But the thing is, that is a moment. That is not your everyday run-of-the-mill business in South Africa.
Understood completely.
Yeah. That is not business as usual. It's business unusual. And that happens once every 4 years.
Or 12 in the Springboks case.
Let's hope they win.
Hopefully they will be the first to win back-to-back. Yeah. But the thing is, the sports people, they focus on their sport. Their focus is not so much, or in the first instance, building bridges between cultures. Their focus is not in the first instance to talk about the effects of apartheid on South Africa and South African communities. They might talk about it in team building and have a weekend away or whatever to build relations, but that is not their focus. And you will get that even with all those wonderful achievements, that teams representing South Africa are still very much divided on a personal level when it comes to race. And that there could be still a lot of distrust because of our apartheid past. We are talking about the Springboks now, but you may remember what happened with the Proteas, the cricket team, and the names that they call each other, describing people from different races in their own team. And what that showed us is that there is a need, even with these wonderful sports achievers, even amongst them, there is a need to respect one another, to respect the dignity of the other, and to understand what has happened, why people are in different positions. We've had this wonderful experience with the students. It was traumatic with the students here at the University of Stellenbosch, that on the one hand, the white students feel that there is not an appreciation by the black or colored students of their honest contributions to make change because of their white privilege. They see that term, white privilege, as a way of cursing them and showing the finger to the past. You were privileged in apartheid South Africa, and now you come out of a position of privilege to make a contribution to change, but that's not a real contribution. So the other groups are doubting the integrity of the white students if they want to participate in change, and that makes it difficult for real change to happen if you don't trust each other. The black students, on the other hand, their parents grew up in apartheid, and when they want to change as black students and tell stories to their parents of how things are different on campus, their parents would warn them not to trust the white people because of what they experienced in the past. So although we are nearly 30 years down the line in the new democracy, we've not left apartheid behind. It's still in our hearts, it's still in our minds, and we are constantly in a battle to overcome it. That is where Culture Connect is trying to make a small difference by helping people to overcome distrust and to respect each other and to respect the human dignity of the other and to build new relationships based on a new understanding of yourself, whether you are privileged from the past, whether you were oppressed and suffered under apartheid, to get to a new awareness of yourself, to reflect on that and to come to a new decision and understanding of how you are going to make a contribution to build better relationships.
Understood.
And make a new beginning.
There's many things that we haven't even started to begin scratching, and we will no doubt come back to some of these themes in future episodes. But most importantly, for those listeners who might have wanted to pick up on some of these themes, the process that you're driving, Bossy, where can people find out more immediately, sort of through whether it's social media, websites, and that type of thing? Where can people find out more about Culture Connect?
We are now almost a year actively starting, and we are busy with prototyping and then eventually using more the social media. We've got two wonderful videos that we take, but they can contact me on my cell phone, WhatsApp, Bossy Miller, 083-457-2348, and also Andrew, and you can give your number.
Yeah, my number is 083-287-0637.
To both of you, thank you so much for your time and for your reflections and for taking us on, I say, the beginning of a journey. I think we'll no doubt come back to revisit some of this. There's clearly a lot more to go into. I don't think we even got to two of the platforms. We dealt with the first two. We talked about the trauma, the trust issues, the challenges that are there. And I really think the way that you framed it from the very beginning, this idea of an iceberg, what we see in the headlines is the tip of an iceberg. And below that are just a series of challenges which are so fundamental to where the country goes, to how we build that trust, how we build confidence, and ultimately a better South Africa for all, which is an easy slogan to put on a t-shirt. But I think the way you've demonstrated this today, gentlemen, is around how difficult it is to actually achieve. More strength to you and the team. Thank you for sharing your thoughts today, and all the very best. Keep safe. Drive safely.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete. It was a privilege.
We hope you enjoyed this content of the Talking Transformation podcast. Please feel free to give us feedback via our Twitter platform, that's @TalkingTransfo and the number 1, or alternatively via our email address, talkingtransformation101@gmail.com. Thanks in recognition also to Tribal Need for allowing us to use their track, Flags, as our introductory and closeout music on this podcast.